Well, anybody ever deal with the struggle of not having enough time to get everything done? Anybody? Have you noticed there are the same hours in every day, right? The same number of minutes, seconds, blah, blah, blah. We know that, and we know how much time we have, but sometimes we get distracted. Sometimes we don't get focused. Sometimes things happen that get in the way, things we weren't planning on doing that happen that distract us from doing what we know we need to get done, right? That's life. Life happens that way. And we're going to look this morning, if you would, in your copy of God's Word, go ahead and turn to Galatians chapter 1, as Paul kind of shares some of those struggles and insights that he has with in his own ministry. And hopefully that'll help encourage us and give us wisdom and direction today. Galatians 1, 11 through 24. And if you're able, would you stand with me in honor of reading God's Word this morning? Give you a chance to find that. Galatians 1, 11 through 24. Get all my stuff together up here, all these little devices. Got to get everything going. For I would have you know, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me is not according to men. For I neither received it from man nor was taught it, but I received it through the revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former manner of life in Judaism, how I used to persecute the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries among my countrymen. Having been more extremely zealous for my ancestral traditions, but when God, who had set me apart from even from my mother's womb, called me through his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went away to Arabia and returned once more to Damascus. Then 3 years later, I went up to Jerusalem to become acquainted with Cephas and stayed with him for 15 days, but I did not see another of the apostles except James, the Lord's brother. Now, in that what I am writing you, I assure you before God that I am not lying. Then I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was still unknown by sight to the churches of Judea which were in Christ. But only they kept hearing, he who once persecuted us is now preaching the faith which he once tried to destroy. And they were glorifying God because of me. Would you pray with me? Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for the testimony that the apostle so faithfully shares with us today. And I pray, Father, you use me as your vessel to faithfully communicate your word to each of us, your people today. Bless us and use us. Speak to us in might and power, that your grace might transform each and every one of our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You know, as we try to figure out the things that go on in our lives and what God's trying to accomplish in and through us, that's really the heart of life, is who is the leader of your life? Who is directing your life? Some days you may feel like it depends, doesn't it? Some days it's your job that's just driving you and you got to do these 27 things and there's only time to do two of them. You know how it is. And there's all these things in life that are driving you and pushing you in this direction and that direction. You wonder, who is in control? What is trying to happen? What's going on with me? Why doesn't things just settle down for once? And yet we're reminded in this text by the Apostle Paul, and I think throughout Scripture we see this again, that it is not we who should be in control of our lives or we who are even in control of our lives. Have you ever had one of those days where you felt like everything was going smoothly? Not often, right? Everything's going according to plan. It's like, you know, you're sailing on the ocean, everything's going well, and then all of a sudden something happens. Always something. Something that throws everything and throws your great plans, your great day becomes soured because of whatever that is that takes place, that alters your plan. Maybe it's some sort of interruption that takes place by someone who has plans that they feel are more important than your plans. And so you got to go according to their plans. And that happens to all of us. But what we have to understand is that as followers of Christ, that is exactly who and what we are. We are called to follow Jesus and the path that he has for us. And sometimes when we follow the Lord, it's going to go pretty easy for a while. But there are going to also be challenges that come along the way. And what he wants us to understand in the middle of the struggle, in the middle of the challenges, is to trust him and follow him and surrender to his will and allow him to lead us and follow the plans that he has for us, not the plans that we have for ourselves. But I don't know how you are. Any of you folks like being in control of a situation? A few? The rest of you are lying. So, okay. We all like being in control, don't we? We like to know what's going on. We like to have our plans in front of us. We like to make sure we're in the direction. Everything's kind of, you know. It's not that we have to have all our ducks in a row, just the right ones, right? We want that path for us to be understood and clear that this is the way that we must go. But when you follow the Lord and you allow him to lead your life, sometimes he's going to take you places that you didn't plan on. Sometimes interruptions are going to happen. Yeah, eruptions too. Sometimes interruptions will happen. Sometimes things will take place in your life that you didn't expect and you didn't want to see, and yet God is in the middle of that. And God is seeking to do something in and through you. And I think a great example of that we see in the text as we look in the Gospels is for the disciples as they follow Jesus. Jesus gave them a two-word opportunity to follow him, didn't he? He said, follow me. Now, if I'm one of the 12, I am asking this question right after that. Where are we going? What are we doing? What time do we eat? You know, those kind of important things that you want to know, right? And I'm sure that Jesus would say to them, as he says to me often when I ask him those same kind of questions, and he says, Mike, just chill. Relax. I got this. And then I go, but Lord, you don't understand. Michael, settle down. I'm the one in charge here. And I don't know if my Savior rolls his eyes at anyone, but I have a feeling he does at me sometimes. And they're deserved because it's like, Michael, relax. Who is leading this journey? Who is in charge of your life? Who is the one that is directing your path? Who knows exactly where you're going and how it's all going to fit and how it all works together in the major scheme God has, not just for your life, but for the kingdom? God is in control. And see, I mean, I can't imagine what it's like when he looks at our lives and looks at the different things that we experience and all these things that are going on in our lives, and he has everyone else on the planet in light as well. Would you agree with me when I say that God has a full plate? He's got a few things going on. When you're in charge of the universe and all these crazy people on planet Earth, not just Baptists, just the crazy ones, that's all of us, right? There's a lot of things going on. And when he deals with us and he speaks to us, it's not that he's dealing with us. He's dealing with us as people. He hears your heart's cry. He knows what you're dealing with. He knows your situation, and he wants to help you walk through it. But he's asking you all along, and he is asking me this to do this one thing that's really very hard for us to do, but he says, trust me. Let me lead you. Give up your agenda, your will. Surrender that. Lay it at the altar and follow me and let me lead. And he did this with the 12, and time again, they struggled with it. And they had Jesus in front of them bodily. I mean, it wasn't like the Spirit of God leading them. Jesus was right there. He was standing in their midst. And they were still like, well, you know, Lord, and it just amazes me that we're no different, isn't it? We question and we wonder, God, what are you doing? Where are you trying to take us? Where are you leading us? I'm sure if you look at your life, and, you know, we oftentimes look back on life as we age and we think, well, you know, how did I get to where I am in life? What are the things that happen? And you look back in your life and you know there's those different events, and sometimes there's things that happen in your life that you don't like. Does that ever happen to anyone else? Things that you really wish had never happened. Experiences you wish you had never gone through. Things that you wish you could have pushed away and just, you know, that didn't happen. My wife and I were talking just this past week about an experience we had years ago in our walk together that we really wish had never happened. But yet, as you look at that and the way that altered the path of our life and the way that placed us on where God had us, it fit perfectly in God's plan looking back. It wasn't fun to go through. It wasn't a great experience. It wasn't enjoyable. It wasn't a ha-ha time. You know, at the time we weren't singing God's praises, we were pretty angry with God, I'll be honest with you. We were frustrated. We really didn't know where God was going to lead us and how he was going to use this, and yet he did. And I would imagine that everyone in this room could share a similar testimony, couldn't you? There are times in your life that God takes you on those places and those journeys, and you're like, where are we, God? Why are we here? What is the point of this? And what does he say? Trust me, child. But Lord, I can't see. It's okay, I can. Lord, I don't. It's okay, I know. But look, just calm down, child. Trust me. And if anybody had reason to be that way, I think Paul had a lot of that. Now, he's an interesting character in Scripture. Would you agree with me when I say that? Saul of Tarsus, who becomes Paul the Apostle. And had a lot to live up to. And he talks about that in snippets here in this little bit. He kind of reminds us here in Galatians. He's talking to the church of Galatia. And what's happened is he's receiving a lot of criticism for what he does. People are saying, well, he's not really an apostle. Or you know this Paul guy. Remember he was Saul. You remember what he used to do? He used to persecute Christians. Can we really trust him? And it realized this was all before the days of social media. You realize they didn't have that back then. They also didn't have video cameras on every street corner. which we seem to be having more and more of in our world, right? That wasn't a reality. They didn't know what Paul looked like. His picture wasn't on posters all across the world. They didn't, you know, couldn't find his profile on Facebook. It wasn't there. All of those things were not real. And so he could almost, in a sense, be anonymous when he could come in. People didn't know him until, oh, wait a minute, that's Paul. In a way, that would kind of be a nice thing, wouldn't it? To be able to go somewhere. But now, you folks, you realize you recognize people. Someone knows who you are wherever you go. You're recognized everywhere. That's the way it is, isn't it? There's that whole idea. But as he goes, and people know, but they know of his reputation. They know that he was the one who persecuted the church. And they're like, can we trust him? And so I think he dealt with that shadow in his ministry for many years, trying to earn the respect of his fellow believers because they were wondering, well, is this all real or is this some kind of act to kind of lure us in? And then he's going to come kill, you know, do what he was going to do before. And Paul was reminded again and again not to worry and focus upon what others thought, but to follow him faithfully. And Paul kind of shares a few things. I just wanted to kind of share with you here about his early life and ministry. And I didn't know if you were aware of these. This is one of the few, about the only place in the text where he shares some of the things about it. After Paul became and was, you know, I love what he says here. Look again, if you would, with me in Galatians. And he talks about that whole idea of where he's going. I believe it's down in verse 15. He's been talking about all these things he was a part of. And then it says, but when God, who had set me apart even from my mother's womb, called me through his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles. Before Paul was born, he was set apart. Before you were born, God set you apart as a child of God. You thought about that lately? I'm going to mess with your head a little bit this morning. God knows everything about your life. Would you agree with that? Hope so. He is, you know, that's one of his characteristics. All-knowing, that's what it means. He knows everything. He knows everything about you. He knows every thought. He knows every decision you'll make, the mistakes, the right things, all the things you're going to do in your life. He knows all of that. And he knows how all of that thing, those things that you do, how that will impact not only your life, but every life that you touch. And also how that fits in to the kingdom of God and the work of the kingdom of God in your life as a follower of Christ. He knows all of these things. Can you imagine that? I can't think of anyone else I would rather seek counsel from on how to live and lead my life than the one who knows it all anyway. He sees it all, understands it all, and was wanting to guide you on the path that he has for you because he knows the path that's best for you. And not just best in most comfortable and happy way, but best for you and your life and the way that your life can be an impact for the kingdom of God and make the greatest difference in the world for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Isn't that what we really want as Christians? We want our lives to matter. We want others to know, not so much that we were here, but that Jesus used us and that Jesus was at work in us. Because the day will come, I don't know what your Sunday school lesson was on. Ours was in Ecclesiastes. I'm so ready to leave Ecclesiastes. It is so depressing sometimes. I think being smart, as Solomon was, isn't always a blessing. Sometimes it's a curse, isn't it? And all the things, all this, you know, that I've done, it's all vanity. That's kind of the whole essence of Ecclesiastes. That's kind of what he says again and again. And yet, that's life apart from God. It is all vanity. It's a vicious cycle. It really doesn't bring to change. But knowing God, God changes the trajectory of your life. God brings purpose and meaning to your life. God allows your life to impact and touch the lives of people that you will never, ever meet. Did you know that? So, well how am I going to make a difference in someone's life I never meet? Well, it might be the people you meet in this life as you're living your life. And then somewhere along the way, their kids or them, or who else, someone else along the way impacts someone else. And, you know, it kind of like this big, crazy, spiraling thing just goes out of control. And untold numbers of lives are touched by your faithfulness to God. Now, you've heard me say that before, and you probably think, well, he's just a preacher, and the preachers just say stuff like that to make us feel better. Well, I'm not really concerned about your feelings today. Did you know that? Concerned about what the Word of God says. And what the Word of God is trying to teach us here is Paul is trying to remind that he understood exactly who was leading his life. He's going to follow Jesus, and it doesn't matter what anyone else thinks. I'm going to let the Lord be the Lord of my life. I'm going to let him direct me and follow his purpose. Now, some people are not going to understand that. Some people are not going to like that, and that's okay. I'm fine with that. I'm going to keep moving on that road. And because of that faithfulness, people like me and people like you are followers of Jesus Christ. Owe a great debt to Paul the Apostle. Because he took the gospel, as he says here, to the Gentiles. That was his calling. That's what he believed God was leading him to do. And he also has an encounter with a couple of disciples, whom he calls disciples. One is Cephas, that's Peter. And we know that he and Peter had their challenges with one another. But he goes to Peter, and he spent 3 years in the wilderness. 3 years. That's a long time to be with yourself, isn't it? And God. I think he had the best seminary education ever offered anybody ever lived on planet Earth. He spent 3 years in the wilderness with the Holy Spirit as his teacher, speaking to him and teaching him, spending time in prayer. The only Bible he had to study was the Old Testament, right? Because that's all they had yet. This guy wrote most of the New Testament, it seems like. But anyway, that's all they had. And he's spending that time in communion with God, and God is teaching him. And all of that is God is preparing him for the mission that God has for his life that we are a part of, the missionary journeys that he'll go on, and all of those things. But he may not have understood all that in the middle of it, but he realizes now as he's looking back that God has a purpose for that. And sometimes when you and I are in the middle of the mess, we begin to wonder, God, what are you doing? Where is this going? Can we get off of this train? Because I'm really tired of it. Anybody been there? And yet God knows exactly what he's doing with your life. God knows everything about you. God knows the purpose, the plan, the direction, how what you're experiencing, how that will shape you, how that will impact you, but also will impact others that you may not even know yet. And how God will use that, and that will spiral out into eternity, and lives will be changed and transformed because of the work that he is doing in you. If he is the one that's leading us, that's what it's all about here. You see, Paul understood who was really in charge of his life. When he gave his life to Christ, he realized he was no longer in control. Now, I'm sure there are times and there were days he tried to usurp his authority and tried to make himself in control, but God reminded him again and again, and the Holy Spirit gently, maybe gently, sometimes he's not so gentle with me, but the Holy Spirit reminded him, you're not in control, Paul. I'm leading this journey. I'm the one in charge. I'm the director. I'm the one who will show you the way that you have to go. And that's really what God is wanting from all of his children, is it not? Absolute surrender. You've heard me say that word a lot. And I want to just, and I've said where I get it. It's not, you know, I'm not a genius. I'd love to wish I invented that, coined that term. It's a book by Andrew Murray. If you've never read the book Absolute Surrender, I encourage you. I beg you to read that book. It is one of the most life-transforming books apart from the scriptures that I've ever read. It's a tremendous book of insight of what it means to surrender your life to Christ. And I would love to say I'm fleshing it out, but I'm not. I have my days like everybody else. Anybody else have those days? A couple of you. I'm not sure about the rest of you, but the rest of us probably, a few of us do. Where I, look, God, I know that's the path you have, but I don't like this path. It's a little scary. I can't see the end, and I like to know the end. I like to know it's going to all work out in the end. Don't you like movies like that? How many of you would like to watch TV shows where it all falls apart every time? They can fix a problem in, what is it, 22 minutes? Whatever a sitcom is, I don't know how long it is. You got to have all your commercials, right? And you got to have the lead in, whatever. We can fix it. But life isn't like that, is it? Sometimes it doesn't seem to work out the way you'd planned. But someone else has a bigger plan than you and I have. And I would love to tell you that if you just follow God, everything's going to work out hunky-dory. And it's going to be wonderful, and you're going to be singing with birds. And it's going to be, what is that, you know, birds are singing. It's going to be like Cinderella or Snow White or something. You know, I don't know, one of those little Disney movies where all the birds are singing, everybody's happy. I'd love to tell you life's going to work out that way, but that'd be a lie, wouldn't it? Because some days are going to be dark. Sometimes they're going to be hard. And sometimes the news you get is not the news you ever want to hear. But is God no longer Lord in that situation, or is he still Lord? Has he got off his throne and said, oh, I'm sorry, I missed this one? No. He's still there. And what's amazing about our Redeemer and our Creator is it's not that he just tells us, I'll catch you on the other side. He walks with us in the middle of the worst times in our lives, doesn't he? Because it's often the times when it's darkest, it's often the times when it's hardest, it's often the times when it seems most hopeless that you find him right smack dab in the middle of it with you. Because he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And unlike some, his promises are not empty. He keeps them all, and that's the one he definitely keeps. And as that time I described that our family went through years ago, there were dark days, but we can see looking back how he was with us right in the middle of it. And we still ask questions. We do. That's what we do as people, don't we? We're always trying to figure it out. Like, that's going to change it. Don't you know that? If we could just figure it out, it'd change everything, right? No. But we think that in some deluded way in our minds, that if we just could understand, it'd be all right. Maybe Satan worked pretty well in the garden when he thought, well, if they just know, we'll figure that. We'll work on that area so they won't be doubting anymore. Just understand. That was the idea. Remember the tree of knowledge of good and evil, right? Wasn't that kind of the temptation? You'll know. You'll be like God. You'll know. That was the whole idea. And we're still trying to figure that out. We haven't gotten over that temptation yet. We're still dealing with it. And all along the way, he is wanting to lead us. He wants us to follow him and his path for us. It's almost like we're little kids walking around and he's saying, come on, come on, Michael, follow me, come on. And I'm distracted, I'm looking at everything. No, Michael, this way, come on. You've done that with your children, right? You know, you ever taken them to like a county fair or something like that and there's so many distractions and you're walking along with them and you got to hold their hand because if you don't, you know where they're going. The bright lights and all that distraction, whoa, you know, that's the way we are. And it's like the Savior's doing that with us, isn't he? He's taking us on that journey saying, okay, you stay right with me. Come on. This is where we're going. Just follow me. And we can't see everything. We don't have the perspective to know everything that's going on. We only see just a little bit ahead of us. Yet he knows it all, and he knows the purpose and plan for our life. And he just says, trust me. Trust me. And Paul got that. And I know it was hard at times, I'm sure, for him to trust his Redeemer, because there were days it was extremely challenging. There were days he wondered, what is the point of this? You know, if I'm sitting in a jail, like Paul was on more than one occasion after being, and I'm sitting there because I'm doing what Jesus told me to do. I'm not in there because I was, you know, drunk and disorderly. I'm in there because I was preaching the gospel. And now I'm preaching the gospel and being faithful to God and I'm stuck in a jail cell. That really makes a lot of sense. And yet you don't see that bitterness in Paul, do you? He understands who's in control, who's in charge, who's the leader of this life. And that's hard sometimes, but that may be one of the biggest lessons we ever learn as followers of Christ. What do you think? If we could begin to grasp that, even a small portion daily, and say, Lord, you have control. You lead me on this life. You do with my life whatever you desire. And then let him lead. Because it's hard to lead people that don't want to follow. Did you know that? You ever done that before? Many years ago, I coached a baseball team. And I played baseball, a lot of it. I thought I was pretty good, but most baseball players do think they're pretty good. Just tell you, kind of way we are. And I was helping another guy. There were about three of us coaching this group of boys. They were high school age, so they were about 13, 14 years old. So they thought they'd played ball for a while, so they all really thought they were going to the major leagues. And they all thought they knew more than we did. And I can remember that, you know, we would, you know, take turns coaching the bases. And I can remember we didn't win. I'd love to say we won the league and had a lot of games. Well, no, we didn't. We didn't win. It was a town team. We played other little towns around us. And we were playing this game, and it was a close game. And they had their instructions, and I was coaching third base. Now, you know where the story's going, don't you? And I'm at third base, and I'm kind of, my job is to look and see, you know, when the guy's coming around second and coming to third, can he make it home or should he stay? And I know that because I can tell where the outfielder is. I can see all that. He's just supposed, he's dog-eared running. He's just focused on getting to third base, and he's looking at me. And this kid was a pretty good athlete. He was pretty quick, so I figured he could make it. And so I'm waving him around, and he comes around, and what does he do? He stops just past the bag, and then he tries to go. And what do you think happens? He's out at home plate. Is it close? No. If he had not stopped, he'd have made it. Now, why was that? Why do I share that stupid story about a dumb baseball coach trying? Because I knew more than he did. Would you agree with that situation? Because I saw, all he saw was what he was doing. And yet we do that to God all the time. We think we're running straight ahead. We're focused on, Lord, we got tunnel vision, just like that kid did. This is the way it is. And God sees it all and says, well, God, I know better. It's going to work. And we wonder why we end up out at home plate. Or whatever happens in life. Usually a lot worse than being out at home plate. And we wonder, God, why is this that this happens? It's because we don't trust him. Because he's going to take our lives and use it in ways that, you know, well, it might scare us a little bit. Now, many of you have probably heard of the Titanic, right? Why they made a movie about a ship sinking, I'm not really sure. You know, you knew the ending when you started. When a lot of people say, I remember people saying, I didn't like the ending. The ship sank, over 1,000 people died. How can that be a happy ending, okay? It's a bad thing. Just understand that. That's what happened when the Titanic sank. But in the story of the Titanic, there are some amazing people in the middle of that. And one of those, the name escapes me, I'm trying to find it up here. But this gentleman was an individual who had traveled back and forth between England and the United States, and he was doing a ministry to reach orphans and children in both parts of the world, trying to develop this ministry to help them get a sustained life, to help them kind of, and that was he was a Christian and he felt that was his calling in life. And he had already established this work in England. It was really going well with some of the kids that were involved in the shops and the things, the ministry that was going in the Industrial Revolution, the things that Charles Dickens writes about. He was doing a lot of things, helping these children get a sustainable life, a real life, an experience, education, all of those things, and know about God. That was his purpose. And he was trying to do the same thing back in the United States, going back and forth, establishing these things. And you probably don't know his name, but you probably heard about this guy. Because you probably heard the story on the Titanic when it was going down, there was a guy that was leading people to sing hymns as the ship was going down, right? It's been dramatized every time. It was this guy. And he wanted them, and he was sharing the gospel to the end. He was telling people, if you have not trusted Jesus, and I can't think of a better time. That'd be a pretty captive audience. And I think the reality of what awaits you, if you're going into the icy North Atlantic, your chances are not good you're coming out, okay? They're just not good. If death awaits you, I think you would be ready to make that decision. He's constantly doing that and trying to encourage people in the middle of that's a horrific situation. But I'm sure that wasn't his plan, the way his voyage was going to end. He had work to do. And yet, he was faithful in the moment, wasn't he? My prayer for all of us is that we are always faithful no matter where God places us. And when the moment comes, I doubt any of us are going to be on an ocean liner. I pray not. I can't afford the tickets. But anyway, I just hope that we are faithful to that point, that wherever we find ourselves, that God, we're going to be faithful to the very end. That we understand who's in control of our lives. He's leading us, and I'm going to use this moment in whatever way he has for his glory, and I'm going to let others know about him. Because your life is extremely significant to your Creator. Did you know that? Did you know he loves you? Anybody have that? Did you know that you're uniquely designed by him for purposes and plans that he has for you? Did you know that? You are not a cosmic accident of primordial soup that came together and plop, there you are. You are designed by your Creator. And there's that little scripture that we read and hear and we know. And I think some things you get so familiar with that they lose their meaning. But we've all heard it. And if you've been through experiencing God, you know it very well. It's in Jeremiah 29:11, right? I know the plans I have for you to make your life miserable and to make you doubt, right? Is that what it says? Absolutely not. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord of hosts. I love Jeremiah. He wanted to make sure you knew who was talking. It wasn't Jeremiah talking here. This isn't the prophet telling you. This is what the Lord is saying. I know the plans I have for you to give you a future and a hope. Does that sound like a God who's like, okay, good luck with that. We'll see you later. Hope it comes well on that side. I'll catch you on the other end. No, that's a God who's with us in the middle of that. That's the one who wants to lead us and knows the path he has for us and wants to take our lives and use them in ways that we never dreamed possible to make a difference in this world for the kingdom. And it's not just us as individuals. It's us as a corporate body of believers as well. Do you think God knows what's best for Southend Baptist Church? Would you agree with that statement? I hope you do. If not, then you're probably at the wrong church. I'm just being honest with you. God knows what he's trying to do. Do I? No, I try to listen. Sometimes I listen well, sometimes I don't. I'm sure none of you struggle with that, right? but I try to understand where he's leading me and where I think he's leading us as a fellowship. I think God has a plan and a purpose for us. I think he has a direction. He has a way that he can leverage and use us as a body in the most dynamic way possible to make a difference for the kingdom. But in order for us to experience what he has for us, we have to follow him. Let me say that again. If we want to experience what he has for us, we have to follow him. We have to surrender our will, say, it's not about my way, it's not about what I want, it's about what God wants, and we'll do what God wants, and let's follow God and see what God does. That was the struggle with the disciples. And you think, well, you think you and I are the first people ever to have to deal with that situation? Read the Bible. It's full of people that doubted him. It's full of people that struggle like, God, are you sure you know where we're going? Even the prophet I just quoted, Jeremiah, I mean, the guy got stuck in a cistern for days. Would you imagine being lowered into something like that? He was there so long they forgot about him. Can you imagine what life was like that? That's the guy that wrote this text. That's the guy that God spoke to. And I'm sure there were times that Jeremiah thought, Lord, I think you forgot me. And you may think he's forgotten you. But he hadn't forgotten you. He never forgets. Sometimes, though, we get caught up in our own stuff, don't we? Our own agenda, our own focus in life, our own perceptions of what reality is, and we forget that God's the one in control, that God's the one in charge, and he's trying to lead us. But we get all, like I was saying when I was a little kid, when you're going down in the fairgrounds, and what happens? You see all the lights, and you get distracted. That happens in life, too, doesn't it? We're going along, everything's going well, God's trying to lead us, we're focused, and then we say, oh, what's that? And he's like, come on, Mike, get back here. Oh, but look at this. That's not why we're here. Look, that's what we are. Aren't we that way? And yet what? He just brings us back. Says, hey, come on, come on. Sometimes begrudgingly, sometimes drags us back, I think. I think if you've not felt that, you walk with him, you will. Sometimes he has to, because some of us are a little slow. I'm in that. I always tell people, I'm in the remedial path of spiritual growth and development. And that's okay. I'm at least on the path, right? Doesn't matter the speed you're going. It's not what it's about. It's about following the Savior. And that he's the one leading your life. He's the one directing you. And Paul, in all that he went through, is trying to help these people understand that great reality, that he knew who was leading him in his life. And I think verses 23 and 24 really capture it for him. Imagine what it was like as he heard the whispers. Oh, this is that guy that used to persecute us. And now he is preaching the very faith which he once tried to destroy. What a transformation. It's hard to visualize and understand the radical nature of change that God had done in the life of Saul of Tarsus to turn him into the Apostle Paul. I don't think Paul ever got over that, ever. I don't think he ever really grasped it fully. I think he always, because I think he always, you see a lot of the hitties that, you know, I was not this, and that he really, really grasped what God had done in his life, but he was going to just go with it as long as he could, and he did. All the way to the end. He never gave up. He relied on what the Creator was doing and trusted him to move in his life. Because that's what it's all about. And I think more than anything, I think verse 24 capsulizes his life and should capsulize our life. This is what it was all about. What does it say? And they were glorifying God because of me. My life was pointing to God. Others were excited about what God was doing because of how God had used me. Isn't that the way you want your life to flesh out if you're a Christian? That people know not about you. It's not they say, oh, look at, you know, you were such a great person, or you were a great Sunday school teacher, or you were a great singer or preacher or whatever. Who really cares? But that they know that you serve a great and mighty God and your life in some way points them to their Creator. That's what we all want to be about, isn't it? We want to make much of Jesus. Because he's the one that we all should celebrate. He's the one who gives all of us hope. He is our Savior, our Lord, our everything. And he is that one who's able to do things in and through us that we could never do ourselves. Now, it's a little scary sometimes. But it's also kind of exciting. Because it's not like driving through Kansas. We had this discussion in Sunday school, so that's where it's coming from. Okay. You ever driven through Kansas? A couple of you? Not real exciting, is it? Pretty boring. You literally could almost put the car on autopilot. You think it's one of those places you could do that and it would just go because the road is just like straight and it is flat. And it is forever. And that's part of most of Colorado's that way too, by the way. Don't let the Colorado folks teach you that the Rockies don't start pretty much till Denver. All before that, it's just basically Kansas. So anyway, you've got this. That's the way, that's life sometimes. And some people like it that way. But when you follow the Lord, it's not going to, I'm going to just tell you, it's probably not going to be like that. There's going to be curves. There's going to be hills. Maybe some mountains to climb. There's going to be some scary drops. There's going to be a lot of things going on because he's a little bit more about the journey. And he's a little bit more about the unknown and taking you and doing things with you because he's really about impact. He wants to make the most of your life for the sake of the kingdom, in ways that you just can't fathom. But it all begins with you and I trusting him and saying, okay, Lord, your way rather than my way. That's what this is all about, huh? Yep, it's always been about that. That's always been the struggle for humanity. Did you know that? Our way, God's way. Which will it go? We think we know better. After all, we read a book about it. We may have even wrote a book about it. Doesn't matter. We think we know better. But how many of us really know what's going to happen tomorrow? We've got an idea of some things. We can kind of analyze and prepare. How about 5 years from now? Anybody? Anybody know? You know with uncertainty? You got a good idea. You think. Well, let's shoot it out a little further. How about 10 years from now? Anybody? Think they know? I don't know. And if you see the guy, I love to watch the guys on television that know or think they know. They're hilarious, aren't they? Because they're usually wrong. It's like being a weatherman. Anybody ever been watch weather? How often are the weather people right? All the time, right? They're never wrong, right? Never. You're going to get 12 inches of snow. Flurries. It's when they say flurries that you better watch out, right? Uh-huh. You know? I have affinity for, that was one of those areas I was really interested. I still have, I'm a Weather Channel geek, sorry. So that's the way I am. But it's amazing how much information you can have and you can still be wrong. But you know who knows the weather and how it's going to work? The Creator. He always knows. Storm front coming. Is it going to, what? He knows. Oh, not a cloud in the sky. It's going to be a deluge in about 20 minutes. He knows. Always. And looks at your life. Huh. What is he doing in your life that's going to get you ready for next week, next month, next year, 10 years from now, 20 years from now? If the Lord tarries when you're gone, for your family, for your friends, for your church, he knows all of that. Who would I follow rather than him for my life? Would you pray with me, Father? Thank you for your word. I thank you for the life of the apostle, but mostly thank you for the words that he shares with us today and every time we look at the text when he reminds us of what he's doing. And I pray, Father, that you would speak to each of us today. And if there's one here today that has not come to receive you as their Lord and Savior, I pray that today would be that day, that they would cross over from death to life to experience the joy of what it means to become a follower of Jesus Christ. And for many of us here today, Father, we've been on that journey for a while, and there are days we follow you pretty faithfully, and there are other days that we kind of ignore you. And I pray, Father, that you would attune our hearts to following you more completely and allowing you to truly lead us on the path that you have for us. What would this fellowship look like if our minds and hearts were surrendered absolutely to the will of God, that we said, whatever God wants, God gets? Would that change the way that we each live our lives? Sure it would. Would it change us as a body? Absolutely. My prayer today is that we begin to grasp that in our lives, that you are the one in charge. You are the one leading us. Help us to surrender to your leadership today. Use this time in whatever way you desire. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.